Today we may have to end a little bit earlier. There's unfortunately a Levi at the airport, and someone's picking me up around 10 o'clock. So what we'll do is we'll forgo the usual introduction that we speak a little bit about the life of Odessa. We'll get straight to the union itself and see this cover as much as we can. Okay, page 57. Page 57. Dama Shetoshiv. Dama Shetoshiv, know what to answer. Page 57. Okay. Here Rav Dessler basically is analyzing, he says, the way the human mind works and the way that a person really is motivated to think many times, even if he's a great intellectual, but nevertheless, even sometimes without realizing it, he will not have intellectual honesty, but rather he'll be driven to conclusions that he would like to come to. And therefore his train of thought will even find logic to support that which he wants to be the truth, even though it's not the truth. And we start with the following. Dama Shetoshiv means know what to answer. It begins as follows. Rav Dessler said, "Nisbayin enoal odom habo lachker mechodosh besamchu sichle bilvad." Dessler says, think of a person, right, who based upon the power of his intelligence alone, who wants to re-examine, he says, some fundamental problem. In other words, Rav Dessler said, we're going to pose some fundamental problems to a person who's going to try to solve it based on his intellect alone. Namely, two very fundamental problems. And we're going to pose it to someone based upon his intellectual capacity and have him try to attempt to solve the problems. What are the two possible questions? Keep going. One question is a very fundamental issue. We're going to ask an intellectual person. We're going to ask them whether he believes the world was created for a purpose. Question number one. Okay, we're talking about a person based upon his logic, based upon his intelligence, to try to answer that question. Was the world created for a purpose, or it is just aimlessly going in no direction whatsoever, and it just happens to be an existing world? That's question number one. Question number two. Question number two is whether is a human being responsible for his actions or not. And again, we're posing these two questions: whether the world has a purpose, was created for a purpose. Question number two is: a person really responsible for his actions? We don't mean the human court because you have courts here and there, but talking about a higher court, higher authority. And we're asking this again for a person to use his intellectual capacity to answer these questions. And Rav Dessler says, we're going to assume that these questions are being posed to a person who is of intelligent of the highest order. So there's no doubt about the person's intellectual ability. We're going to pose these questions to somebody who is truly an intellectual. Naniach. Alright? We're going to assume, Shodom said, that this person to whom we are posing these questions, who bal sechel charif, is a person who is very sharp, he has a keen intellect, melumed umaskil, a very well educated person and a very well informed person. Okay? So, as far as intellectual capacity, we are not questioning it, is of the highest order. However, regarding his character, he says that does not match up, his character refinement does not match up to the level of his intelligence. Abel, okay, this is the type of person we are posing the question to. He has a supreme, extremely high level of intelligence. Could say he has an IQ of the highest order. However, his character refinement does not match his intelligence. Abel Bamash and Agaya Lemidois. However, in the area, right? However, so far as character is concerned, he said this is the type of person who never at all ever worked on refining his character. It's the type of a person, Shemoilam Loy Nichnas Beuve HaKoyrum, which someone never went really deep, Lavoid Alatsmoy, a person who really never worked upon himself, the Beretzinus, with seriousness, Kedei Lahafech Estivoy, in order to try to change his nature, Estivoy Hagat Ulesake Midois of Aroyus. So we're talking about a person who never seriously tackles his moral failings. Alright? So here we have, let's say, a super intelligent person, but at the same time, a person who really has no control, that has no control over his basic nature. He never worked on it to have control. For example, it's a type of a person, im yaladeu mashehu, yikoim v'yitoyer, he says, kidaboy. This is a type of person that, for example, he says, that if someone, let's say, would insult him, he'll give back as good as he got. Right? This is the type of a person. You insult him, so be ready to receive the same way that you gave. Or, im yaisa masa mishubach, a person, for example, let us say that he did something which is very praiseworthy. He did something which is very good. Yidroish min hakel sakovet haroyaloi. He'll be a type of person who will make sure that everybody knows about it. He has not worked upon his character refinement. So again, if he does something good, I'd like everybody to know about it. Im yovel denisoyin, and if situation is, let's say that he is tempted. Let's say he's tempted by his basic nature. This type of a person, you certainly cannot be assured that he will not be fallen into the trap of his Yetzer. Also in any type of basic, right, desires. There's no means that you can be sure that this person, right, that he will not succumb. They will not succumb and be able to hold out. Because there's a person who never really worked in that area. And we're talking about a person that on the outside he really looks to be, right, very, very well adjusted on the outside. And even if the person, he says, and even if this person to the outside world, right, he's going to present an image, he'll present an image of being a very good and decent citizen. As a matter of fact, he'll appear to a person who really is looking for the truth. That's on the outside. Nevertheless, but the truth is that nevertheless, that his midos, his true character, is hidden within. That you cannot always see on the outside. Because in order to uproot, he says, negative character, right, that requires, he says, many years, he says, of constant devotion and diligence to be able to uproot and to change one's basic nature. That's avoid b'mesiras nefesh u'b'chol ma'amtzei hakoyach. One has to really put in a lot of moral effort. Well, the zoyt ohoy l'pnai, but this intellectual never had time for that. So again, so now, we are posing two questions to a very intelligent person. However, as far as the character refinement is, he's very, very average at best. He's not someone really who has ever worked upon his character. He's not someone who really has control over his basic nature. But he's an intellectual. So you say, well, he's an intellectual. He'll be able to tackle this problem. And we're asking him, do you believe intellectually? Can you come to the conclusion in your mind? What is your opinion? We're asking him his opinion. Do you believe that the world was created for a purpose? Do you believe that man is responsible for his actions? What is your intellectual, right, conclusion? Said now Rav Dessler, as great as an intellectual that he is, but again, on the other hand, he's a person who did not work on his character refinement, is a person who succumbs and is controlled by his desires. Ke'ish kozeh, he said, when you're dealing with this type of a person, he says, Bo lachkoy, we're coming now to this person, we're coming to ask him, al boyois ikroinius kenal. Okay? So we're asking this type of person to try to examine the fundamental problems that we raised. Do you believe that the world is created for a purpose? Do you believe that man is responsible for his actions? It says Rav Dessler, he may be the greatest intellectual around, but Alma Nirma es Atzmeinu, says Rav Dessler. Don't delude yourself. Don't fool yourself to think Shehu Adish Legamre. Don't think that this person, just because he's intellectual, don't think that this person really is indifferent, right? Is indifferent to come to a solution that makes him comfortable. Not which is directed necessarily by his intellectual capacity. As great, as smart as the person might be, do not fool yourself thinking that he is totally indifferent. Legabe hamaskonis hu alternativios. Alternative, he said. That he is not aware that if he's going to be honest with himself, he may come to really conclusions that he may not want to find out. he says, which may stand against his self-interest in this world, he says. He realizes, being as smart as he is, he realizes that if he really delves into the problem, honestly, he may come to conclusions that will totally take hold of his life in totally a different direction. He realizes what the outcome might come, might be. And therefore, he says, Hare kvar lamadnu. That's the case we already learned, and that was, we discussed a little bit last week. But Maimari says in the essay, Shairish HaMusar, the article that's called The Roots of Musar, and Rav Dessler said, we pointed out in that article, She'ein Odom member Nigash L'Chakira Shum Bayav She'Be'olam, we mentioned the point that no person approaches any problem unless he has some interest in it first, as you pointed out. If you have no interest, why are you going to approach it? Why are you going to think about it? And therefore you find different people, right, who basically are approaching different situations based upon those areas that they have interest. As a point out, you got to have people, right, is thumbing pages of a newspaper, some people stop at a certain area and they focus, and others stop at a different area. It is the focus of that, of their, where their interest lies, that is the thing which really is makes them delve into that issue, which wants them to go thoroughly into that issue. So again, a person does not really approach any problem, any bayasha b'yoylomi said, they do not approach it, mibli hisaninus koidemis. So that's the fact we already, he says, established that. That a person does not approach any problem unless he has some prior interest. Okay. And, he said, bisaninus hiboze, he said, and in fact, he says, the interest comes from the fact, the interest comes from the fact, because a person understands that the answer, right, that the answer will make a significant difference, right, one way or another, to his desires. That's why he is approaching it. Because he understands that the answer that he'll come to is going to make a difference. This aninus ubezesh odom kvat soifem meroish. A person, even before solving the problem, but he knows that the answer to this problem, right, should be pisron habaya, he says that the solution to this problem, letzadzeh or letzadzeh, yenapkimineh, he knows that it may affect one or more, he says, one or more of his desires. So therefore, right, a person therefore is now going to tackle this problem to try to find out where it's going to lead. Now, this is true even if the issue deals only with one isolated area in a person's life. Which means is that a person really knows that the answer to a particular issue may have an effect on one area of his life. Imagine if the question is of such great importance that the answer to that question does not merely affect one area, but totally encompasses every aspect of his life. You can certainly realize that a person has a bias in order to have his train of thought be motivated in a way that he should not be forced to change his lifestyle. He says, Zui Kvar, he says, what I'm saying is that a person is aware that the true answer may lead, he says, to a different area against his interest. If that's true, even Bayab Boydedis, in an isolated question, which maybe is only affects one area of his life, Shenegas Ulai Raklaprat Echod Mechayo, Imkein Ma Nagid Kan. So, what about, he says, when we are talking about a question, for example, does the world have a purpose? Is a person responsible for his actions? The answers to these questions do not affect just one area in a person's life. But this is an all-encompassing question, as he says. Kesha habaya hanechkeres, he says, when the question that is being dealt with, he rabas hekev meod meod, it is very comprehensive, achekol toichen chayo toliboy, which means that his entire life, right, depends on it. And he's going to have to struggle with this, as he points out. And he knows right away that if he comes to an answer, right, that he may not like, if he comes to an answer, it's true, but he may not like it, he understands that what's included in that answer, nafkusois rabois, what many, many new, right, consequences, toitsois moid, hanoigoyos lochol echod mertsenoiso, which that really is going to stand against everything and anything that he desires and would want to do normally. Is going to have now control over his character traits, which he fights about things that he aspires to. For example, The answer to this question, if you pose the question, do you believe that the world has a purpose? Do you believe that a person is responsible for his actions? That will now determine, does a person now have to fight for the rest of his life against his Yetzirah? Because now that I come to a conclusion, to the true conclusion, yes, I have to answer to a higher authority. If he comes to the conclusion that the world has a purpose, that's going to make a difference whether he can live his life freely and really do whatever he desires to do. Or maybe it means that now he's going to have a lifetime struggle to deal with his Yetzirah. Because he realizes that life does have a purpose. He realizes that man is responsible for his actions. The answer to the question, he says, lehislabet, betadiris, he's going to struggle continuously. Bikvishas ritsoinoiso, it means that he's going to have to struggle continuously to be able to conquer, right, that which he would want to do. Ritsoinoiso vapchusim, basically his base, lower desires. Kedei lichyos alpidrishas yoitzroi, because now he has to do what Hashem wants. That would be one side, if he comes to that conclusion. Or yuchal lichyos, or maybe, he says, if he abandons the true answer, if he comes to a different conclusion, that means he can live his life as free as he wants. Billy Oil, right, and he has no restraint. There's no restraint for his desires. Except, he says, only those controls that he voluntarily might decide to put upon himself. But there's no external control upon him. Because the world has no purpose. I'm not responsible for my actions. So the answer, the true answer to that question really will have a tremendous, tremendous effect on how this person now would have to, if he's honest with himself, how would have to lead his life. So being that the answer to this question has such a dramatic effect on a person's life, that bias, says Rav Dessler, will cloud his intellectual thinking. I don't care, he says, what supreme or what level of intelligence you may have, he says. And this is the problem, he says. Imagine, if we have this type of an issue, so now this very smart person wants to assure us that he's going to come to a true conclusion, being that this answer, one way or another, is going to have a dramatic effect of how he now must lead his life. And this intellectual, when you start out, you're going to pose a question and say, yeah, I'm going to answer the question honestly. So of this, can you trust him when he assures us that he's going to arrive at a true solution? Because he's going to rely on the Yune Sikhloi. Do you believe that he's going to really rely only honestly on his intellectual powers? We already have shown, he says, in the above mentioned article, as Goydla Hashpoes Koyach Negir. We have shown already the tremendous effect of even the slightest bias can have on all intellectual processes. We see that if a person has a negi, if he has a bias, we see clearly how that controls his way of thinking. So the ech biyodo, and how a bias has the power, tremendous power, la'adeis kol derocho. We see how bias has the ability, right, to distort and to falsify all of his conclusions. That's even if you have a bias against one area. But this type of a major question is an all-encompassing question, which means it's going to have control of every area, every midah, every action that a person takes, everything that he does, everything they would like to do. So imagine how much more, how great the negi is, how great the bias is. Here is not only a question merely about one character trait or another character trait. So maybe, okay, he may be forced to be controlled by doing the right thing in one area. But rather, this type of a question is something that really includes and distorts the power of all of his midos. Because all of his midos are crying out, Don't allow yourself to be chained. Don't allow yourself to be controlled. Because every midah, every desire says, please, please give me that which I want. Shekulam sayakim, chomos. They're always crying. They say, chomos, me, we're being robbed. We're being robbed of our freedom. Umatim es haseichel, and therefore, they distort, they deflect the intellect. Lahatim devorov, they come to a solution litzad hapisor and harotsu lehem. The midos and the desires will distort the thinking of a person to come to a solution that's acceptable to them, what's acceptable to the desires, says Rav Dessler. So as great as an intellectual the person is, if he does not have character refinement, he says, then all the bias and all the desires and all of that, he says, will cloud his thinking and distort, and he will not come to the right conclusion. So we go now further. And we take a look. So he says further, he says, and he's barely ill. He says, we already discussed above, he says, Shairish HaMusar. Which was called the Shairish HaMusar. Just a second, let's see there. Okay, we're still here, okay. All right, just looking at the thing, how much time. All right, let's take a look here. Okay, Al-Kain, he says, Devarenu Lapikairis. And therefore we say to the heretic, we say to him, Bameh Ataboy Leinu. We say to him, on what are your opinions based? You have come to a conclusion, right? You're leading the type of the life that you're leading. So we're asking him, on what are your opinions based? Bameh Ataboy Leinu. Is it Besichlecha? Is it really on your intellect? Is it based upon, really upon your intellect that you're arriving at that solution? So we say to him, Kol zaman shemidoisecho haroyiz bimkoimon. As long as your regrettable qualities are still firmly entrenched within your being, betalumois penim halev, they're still within you, then your seichel is not a seichel and your conclusions are not conclusions. Because you're not really thinking with your seichel, you're thinking with your emotion, you're thinking with your desires. That's the truth on what your opinions are based upon, he says. Your seichel is not a seichel, he says, maskenoisam ena maskonos, and your conclusions are really not conclusions. He says, yes, your intellect can very well be to solve mathematical problems. We're not taking away anything from your intellect. Because you know why? Because those mathematical problems don't make any demands on your lifestyle. So then, yes, then strictly that your seichel, right, then your seichel will come to the conclusion unbiased because you have no reason to give one answer or another. So basically then we can rely on your intellect. He says, the yoyelhu, he says, your intellect, he says, will achieve, right, and can be accepted, ulai, lechashiv cheshbonos matematiyim. He says, when it comes, he says, to calculate mathematical problems, right, or maybe to solve technical problems, ulahasig maskonis technios, or maybe to solve technical problems, shein b'mishum naf. Because there you do not have, right, you do not have any personal, right, any personal, there's no personal element involved. So certainly then we can rely on your intellectual prowess. However, he says, when it comes to philosophical questions that now may have to change your whole lifestyle, but in order, he says, where we're dealing with problems of a totally different sort, not mathematical calculations, types of problems, those types of problems, he says, where the solutions now will impinge on your behavior. Because if you come to one solution, if you come to the true solution, and now it's going to change your will, it's going to control your will, it's going to change your behavior, he says, why would you want to accept the truth? Why would you really want to accept the truth? He says, simply because your seichel came to the wrong conclusion, you cannot rely on your intellect when it comes to the situation. Because the truth is, he says, what you have come to the conclusion is that's what's easier for you to live and it's easier for you to take. That's basically what Rav Dessler says here in this paragraph. So let's move on to the next paragraph, Rabbi Yisai. Wait, next page actually, which is page 39, 59. So he says, in the meantime, he says, when a person is going through, you know, serious discussion in his mind, and he says to himself, I've not yet arrived at any of a type of a crossroads, he says, to really be able to see the truth. So in the meantime, how do I find the truth? He says, it's by Eliel b'mamer Shairish HaMusar, he says. It came out very clearly, he says, in the discussion, he says, in the above article, the root of Musar. Shederach Arucha Lefaneinu means we have a long way to go before we reach the crossroads. Achen Egiya Leproches Drochim. So the truth is, it comes a while, and until we have our own character refinement, that we ourselves are not able with our own minds really to see the truth, because we are biased. So in the meantime, so what do? You can't trust your own seichel because you're biased in one way, and therefore you are being motivated and thinking, right, in that which is more comfortable, in that which is more desirous, So how do you find out the truth in the meantime for yourself when you're not able, right? When you're not able really to honestly come to a true conclusion? So I'm the man has been time. So in the meantime, until I'm able to really to decide honestly, mi yoyro sonu baderech, who show me the way? So that's quite simply, what does a blind man do? You know what a blind man do? He relies on someone who does have eyes to see. He relies on someone who does have eyes to see that he should guide him. We also have our great chachomim, we have our great sages, those who have open eyes and clear eyes, and they should be the ones to guide us and to teach us and tell us what the right way is. He says, what does the blind man do? He's going on an unknown road, because a road that's known to him, even a blind person, this is one of the senses that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given, that he's able to feel his way around. But what happens if it's an unknown road? What does the blind man do? Well, what does he do? What he does is he takes someone who's a sighted person to lead him. Or at least he'll ask people, right? He'll ask people who are able to see. Right? So he'll ask people the way, each way he's turning. Kain Mamish, says Rav Dessler. The same way, we also have people who have eyesight, spiritual eyesight. We have people who have keen eyesight, who are able really to see the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that ability. They have reached that madrega. Kain Mamish, his melon Hashem Yizborach, Beroiv Chasodavk. Dessler says, this is Chazdei Hashem, that we have Gedoyli Yisrael. See the Loshon. He says, Chazdei Hashem, he says, Moire Derech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, provided us, he says, guides. Moire Derech, guides. Aloheimu Chazal. These are Chazal, these are the Chachmei HaTorah. These are the Chachmei HaTorah. Asher kol hamizboinim b'divreihem. Rav Dessler, look how Rav Dessler stands in awe. For Gedoyli Yisrael, anyone, says Rav Dessler, anyone who reflects deeply on their words, recognize the clarity of their vision. Anyone who looks deeply into the words of Chazal and Gedoyli Yisrael, recognize the clarity of their vision. Yirat kama hoyser riyosom bihira. How clear they saw things. Bekoiches ha-nefesh shel atzmon v'shel kol odom. They had profound insight in their own mind and also in the minds of others. Very aptly be able to define human behavior. And they can help us find the right direction. So, he brings out very nicely, he says, Eitze Yikorazu, this Eitze that I'm telling you is to take guidance, he says, from Gedoyli Yisrael, Kranosel Lono Ramchal. The truth is, he says, that Ramchal already gave us this Eitze, the Sifra Hanifla Mesilas Yesharim, and the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, which we once discussed it, that's the famous marshal, it's called Gan HaMavuke. Gan HaMavuke is the marshal regarding a maze. Just remember, Rabbi said that Ramchal was one of the great geniuses of all time and one of the tragic life stories also of all time. A man who only lived to the age of 39. A literary genius, very clearly, was born in Padua in Italy, and so on and so forth. And already at a young age, he had tremendous strides. He developed also a great passion for Kabbalah, in addition to the fact of being a Bokeh all of Shas. But he had tremendous passion for Kabbalah. And it was said about the Ramchal's genius as a poet itself, stands beside Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, you know, in the Ibn Ezra and so on, in the area of poetry. He wrote dramas in which the characters personified as a sefer called Yeshurim Tehillah, which is the people in his play, sort of like a play, but the people, the actors, the people in the play, Emes, which is truth, he has praise, passion, pride, honesty, and so on and so forth. And by age 17, he already wrote thousands of pages. In addition to the fact also, he wrote, if one would call it, his own Sefer Tehillim. He wrote 150 psalms. Gently, the Oramelo had 150. And I have a copy of some of them. It's amazing. Just the Loshon, the Hebrew is really ancient type of a Hebrew. That type of a poetic and a high level Hebrew. And actually, that was to his detriment, because which led to many of his attackers against him, that said to him that all of this is going to his head, and he somehow thinks that he's going to be a substitute for David HaMelech, and he considers him to be the next Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation, and so on and so forth. powerful or the equal of a Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, his wife that he married at a later age, there was another thing, got married lately in life, and his wife's name was Sapphira also, like Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Sapphira. That was also used against him, and so on and so forth, saying that he's really hallucinating and imagining himself to be much more than credit could be given for, and so on and so forth. But certainly, as a history has proven and has understood really the greatness of the Ramchal. So here we have a little bit of Ramchal, which is called, let's take a look, it's called the Gan HaMavuka. It's called the parable, the Moshel of the maze. And he says as follows. Ha'oel ben Ashvilim, he says, a person walks along the paths. If you're walking in the path, right, and you don't know your way, there's no way to find it. Because why? There's one path going this way, one path going this way, one going in the middle. You're never going to find out the way. He says, Ha'oel ben Ashvilim, said Ramchal, a person who's walking between the paths or along the paths, lo yuchal liroch l'das klal im u'bishvil hu'amiti oy b'koizim. He has no way of knowing if he's on the right path or he's on the false one. Why? Because all the paths look the same to him. He says, Kikulam shovim vein hefesh b'neim le'ayin haroyosam. So may they're all alike and there's no difference. He's not able to tell. However, someone standing on a porch high up, and he's able to see from high up, he's able to see where each path leads to. However, he says, when you have a person, right? When you have a person who is standing on a chsadre, standing somewhere, let's say, on a porch and so on and so forth, right? So I'm standing on a tower. So that person who is standing on the tower, he's able to see all the paths and he's able to distinguish between the true one and the false one. Standing on the tower, he's able to yell down, don't go there. This is the wrong path. This is the right way to go. So he says, now if someone believes him, right? If someone really believes him, then in fact he'll find the right way. He's going to listen to the directions from coming higher up. So the one who listens to him, in fact, will find the place that he intends to go to. But someone does not want to believe. He wants to go only through his own eyes. Well, his own eyes, he's just going to fall astray. He's never going to find the Yishar Oivad Veloyigia Elo. He's simply going to follow, he says, his own eyes, does not want to listen to his own judgment. He'll get lost and he'll never reach his true destination. Kein Adovar Azeh, says Ramchal. There's still the words of Ramchal. Misha dying loy Moshe beYitzroy. A person did not yet conquer his Yitzro, heart does not control him. He's like someone who is walking between the paths. He does not really know the right way. Why not? Because his Yitzro heart is fooling him to think that that's the right way. So he, based upon the Yitzro heart's motivation, thinks that he has the right way. He'll never be able to distinguish between what's right and wrong. Those who have successfully already, he says, are in control of the Yetzer Hara, they are like those who have already reached the tower. When you reach the tower, you're able really to look objectively down. They already reached the tower. Those people who have conquered their Yetzer Haras are in control of themselves, they can give you true advice to tell you which is the right way. And these are the people that we ought to trust. Says now Rav Dessler, based upon the Moshe of Ramchal, that's what I'm telling you too. You understand what it means to have emun and chachomim. He says, whoever is prepared to trust the chachomim, is able to make use of their clear vision. And you see the world through their eyes, not through your own eyes. Right? From these chachomim you get valuable insights, right? Both on the outlook of the world and on behavior. Banhogem Isis. The Loyoidi says, we become the Talmidim basically, the same way that the chachomim became Talmidim of those before them and so on before them, we should become Talmidim of the great chachomim, and thereby then we will not get lost until we ourselves reach a madrega of being control of our own desires. Then our intellect can be used in an objective way and to be able to really see the truth. But until that is attained, we have to seek guidance from those who do have clear eyes and do have clear vision. Let's take Rabbi, let's look at the settle that we have. Let's look at the sheet. The most few minutes that we have here. And we'll see something a little bit about Emunas Chachamim, which Avdesta talks about. The first item that we have over here The first item that we have over here is, if you take a look here, this is on the Sefer Chaim Sheish Bohem. It's brought down, you know, let me make a small example. Everybody knows whether you've been to a matzah bakery or not, but you're quite aware that in order to bake matzahs for Pesach, you can't use any water. You can't use stink water. But you have to, basically, you take water from a well, and it has to be left at least overnight, right? It has to be left, it's called Mayim Shalonu. Water that has, Lonu means from what? Lino. Left overnight. Lino means left overnight. Okay? But the word Lonu also means to us. Mayim Shalonu, our water. So the Gemara tells us a very, very interesting, fascinating story. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Beis. It says Rav Masna, one of the great Chachamim, Bola Pepunya, place called Pepunya, it's in Bovil. The Hikru said he made an announcement, Isha Loi Tolush, a woman should not need a dough, it's talking for Pesach we're talking about, should not need a dough, Ela B'mayim Shalonu. What he meant was, water that has been left overnight. That's what he meant, B'mayim Shalonu. Kloimar, what he meant was, Tzorach Lolush is Hamatzois, B'mayim Shalonu, Meloshin Linu Poyalailo. Water that is left overnight. Betoich kli, right? You have it in a kli, you have it in a vessel, and it's left overnight. Meno erev ad leboikroi shal yoyim ha-mochros. It has to be left from the evening till the next morning. Now, b'nei ho'ir b'hiyoysom amaratzis, the people in the town, they were not talmidei chachamim, put it this way. So they didn't know, never heard of Mayim Shalonu. When they heard Mayim Shalonu, so what happened? So lohevino is coming also. They didn't understand what he meant. V'choshvu, the tumon, b'tmimis, it means, just being very tumistic means very, very poshut to people. So they understood, innocently, Shrav Masna his chavim, they thought he means you can only bake matzah b'mayim using my water. In other words, Rav Masna made the announcement, you can use only Mayim Shalonu. They did not know the word Lonu means overnight. Mayim Shalonu means you can only use my water. You know what happened? So the next morning everybody came and they brought their pails to him that he should give them water. For the next day, the Gemara says, right, they understood that he means Mayim Shaloi. And truth, the next day, Bo Kula Melo B'merutza, they all came very quickly. The Kadeim B'Yedeim, they had their pitchers. U'Bikshu, give us water. After all, you said we can only use your water. That's what they understood. Right? So the Gemara says, Oysa Shohemidim Rav Masna Al-Tu'usam. And Rav Masna explained to them, no, you're making a mistake. Mayim Shalom does not mean my water. All it means, Lono means water that had been left overnight. Abkan, this is the story. Question. What's the purpose of the Gemara telling us this story, that people were so ignorant? What's the point of this story? It's telling us a story that they misunderstood what he meant, right? Because they didn't know any better. So fine. So what the point of the story is? You can imagine if a Rav would get up today and tell you, the only water you can use is my water. People say, why is his water any better than my water? Everybody said they have meetings and start arguments. People would not want to accept it for face value. Tafke, Chazal are telling us, the emunas chachomim that people had in those days, that when Rav Masna said, my water, they didn't question it. Even though they didn't understand, why is his water better than our water? They all came and brought their pitchers. We're going to use your water. That's the point of the story. And the truth is, it didn't make sense. That's not what he meant. But according to the mistake, where they thought that's what he meant, even though it didn't make any sense, why is his water any better than our water? The emunas chachomim that they had in that time, because this was the announcement that he made, they didn't question it, whether they understood it or not. They came and they brought the pitchers, thinking that he meant you have to use his water. That's the point of the story. Now what we have here, number two, if you see the second item we have here, very interesting, Rav Aaron Kotler, you realized, did not have children many years. Rav Schneer and so on was born a number of years after his marriage. And you know why? In other words, ultimately, he got a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. Rav Aaron Kotler, many years after his marriage, did not have children. And guess what? It's not just that his shver, the great goy in Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, he got the bracha out of the Chofetz Chaim. Let's take a look and look what happened. particular incident is being told by Misapra Hoya Goyin Rav Cheskel Avramsky Zatzal. Cheskel Avramsky himself was a great goyin. As we know, he was a rav in London, and he was also considered one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. For many, many years, he used to give shurim in Slobodka. He used to travel from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak and give shurim over there. He lived in Beit Vegan, as you know, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And he was considered to be one of the greats. Cheska Avramsky would say, with tremendous emotion, he heard it from Rav himself. That's how. Because Rabbi Geroyser in London, that goes many, many years ago, Rav Aaron Kotler, when he visited once Rav Cheska Avramsky in London, so Rav Aaron Kotler told him the following story. He said, Bishonim Arishonis, listen to this. He said, in the early years, Achrei Nisui, Rabban said, in the early years after my marriage, Terem Nifkadati Bibonim, before I was blessed with children, Chaisni says, my Shver, Hagoyin Rabbi Zalman Milzer, that's Alhoi, Barab Nesel Chofetz Chaim. So Rabban told Rav Cheska Avramsky that, my Shver, Rabbi Zalman, he was in Rab Nesel Chofetz Chaim, Ubikesh Brocha Avuri, and he asked the Brocha on my behalf. Chofetz Chaim, Biru Chofetz Chaim gave a Brocha, and this is what Rav Aaron is telling over. And after the bracha of Chofetz Chaim, I had a son and a daughter. Stopped. No more. So Achrei Kama Shon, after many years, my share was again in Rav. After that, my share was again in Rav. Many years, no more children. Didn't have any more children, the first two. That's it. So my share went again to Chofetz Chaim. Ubikish Avuri Brocha, Noisefes. Chofetz Chaim lebiruch. Chofetz Chaim did not give a brocha. It's an amazing thing. Chofetz Chaim did not give a brocha a second time. Kishi Sipir Zois Rabban Kotel Rab Cheskel Avramsi. When Rab Aaron said this over to Rab Cheskel, Himshech Rabban continued Bisrakshis with tremendous emotion. The Yoman, he said, Mistoma Hoyle Le Chofetz Chaim Tam, Mistoma Chofetz Chaim had a reason, Shaloi Neyo Yislevorchein, that they didn't want to give me a brocha that I should have more children. Turn the page on the side. Serv Cheska Abramsky. He says, Boy Urei Goyle Amunis Chachom Mishul Rabban. Look at the great Amunis Chachom Rabban Kotla had. That it was Boyle like Hashem, and she was so positive that everything was dependent on the bracha of the Chofetz Chaim. The reason he didn't have more children because the Chofetz Chaim didn't give him another bracha. He believed 100% had the Chofetz Chaim given another bracha, he would have had more children. Everything was told in the bracha of the Chofetz Chaim. So again, he can show tremendous mischam. Now, Rav Cheska Avramsky is very spoiled. Rabban was not the Bederech HaTeva. He clearly believed that Chofetz Chaim gave another bracha, he would have had more children. If that didn't happen, Chofetz Chaim didn't give another bracha again. And finally, Rabbi said, we're ending it right here. Look at the fourth item we have here in the bottom. Tavei Rezokin. It's a very interesting thing. Bishnas Tovshin Chof Ches. That's in 1968. Nicholas Hagoyin Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger. Rav Moshe Schulzinger was a great big Talmud Chochem and Bnei Rav Machaber, many Sfarim. He was a right-hand man of Rav Shach. Actually a spokesman of Degel HaTorah, Rav Shach, when there was a message to be given over, Rav Moshe Mordechai would be the one who would really be the one who conveyed the messages to the public. So Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger went with a young man, El HaGoyin Rav Lozer Menachem Shach, went into Rav Shach, Rosh Yeshivas Ponovich, and the young man asked a question, Hishayla. Oid Beteren, CMS Hishayla, before he even concluded the question, Hifsikoi HaGoyin Al Asar, Rav Shach stopped him right on the spot. Aid the Sophic. Rav Shach saw where the question is going and said, what kind of a question are you asking? This question was already posed to the stipler and he already said it's okay. We rely on the stipler when it comes to any serious shayla in the Torah. That's a halacha. Kach poiskim b'shamayim. But the stipler says that's the way they paskin in Shemayim, said Rav Shach. Kishu ashnayim lotzeis, and both were ready to leave. Not as a Moshe Mordechai with that young man when they were ready to leave Rav Shach's room. Hoisev Rav Shach v'omar. Rav Shach even added, aleichem ladas. You have to know, shebezchus hu amune, that in zchus in the merit of the amune shemaminim bedvarav hakdoshim shel astipler, which is Torah's emes, you can be sure that everything goes through. So in other words, the zchus of amune itself will be the schus to make it in fact happen. Which means the more that you believe in something, that gives more efficacy, gives even takim more bracha. Which you don't want to say many, many times, that you can have the bracha of the greatest tzaddik. If you don't believe in the bracha, the koich of the bracha really is diminished to a great, great extent. And then we conclude, Rabbi Isaac, Yerkatimam Shemuvan, and that is, I believe one of the nights of Pesach, we mentioned B'Shem the Divrei Chaim, the Sanz Aruf, that there's two people, two chitin came, did not have children, they both came to Divrei Chaim, they came for a bracha, and Divrei Chaim gave a bracha to both of them. Turns out today that one of them had children, a year later or so, the other one did not have. And there was a chosid of the Divrei Chaim. He says, went to the Rebbe, said, Rebbe, he says, how is it? How come, he says, how come this one got a bracha? They both got a bracha. How come this bracha was mekuyim, the other one was not mekuyim? The Chaim says, go and find out a little bit about the two of them. So he went and found out that the first woman that received the bracha, she, once she got the bracha, she already bought a baby carriage, so she believed in the bracha. The other one said, oh, let me see it happen first. Oh. So the one who believed in the bracha, that gave, in fact, gave the koyach to the bracha, and that we have to have amunas chachomim, and that, in fact, makes the words of the chachom, the bracha, become a koyach.